Although I'm not sure I'd really want you to say this, but well, I know, but I mean, they did fight hard. Barbara and them fought, as hard as they could.
As hard as they knew, and with what they knew how to fight with.
But, you know, when we got involved, for example, the first thing that Peg Ormsby did was start a newsletter. So that, you know, the people amongst themselves knew what was going on. And then we began to expand the membership, you know, until there are, 1,500 people belong to the Watershed Association now. You know, and they're all over the state and all over the country. And the people had begun to reach out. And, you know, they had drawn in other agencies and other groups, you know, but we got hooked up a little tighter with the Environmental Policy Center in Washington, you know, which is a group, one aspect of what they do is fighting dams. You know, and we went to the university, for example, and searched around until we found an economist that we could afford, which was real cheap, to do an economic analysis for us. I mean, we knew these things were true, Michael, but we couldn't prove them. And we didn't have anybody amongst us knowledgeable enough to do the work to help us prove them. And so it was hard to get, it's hard to get an economist from West Virginia University interested, you know, in doing things. But, you know, we were able to get people like that involved. We had wonderful help from West Virginia Legal Services Plant. You know, we had the benefit of some of the best young lawyers in the state free. And we had a hydrologist from the university who was going to develop a watershed plan as part of a class project in one of his hydrology classes so that we could prove that the idea of a watershed project would work. And he only got so far on it because there wasn't enough data. The Corps didn't have enough data compiled on the water studies for him to have done. He couldn't go anywhere with it because he didn't have the information, because the Corps hadn't done the information. And you know, it's been a hard fight. We had to fight on the local level, the Chamber of Commerce people. At one time, you know, the business community in Weston was vehemently opposed to this dam. Those people got older and the new generation took over, and to them this was it. You know, this was going to be the best thing that ever happened to Lewis County. And at the same time, you have a decrease in the importance in agriculture after World War II, especially. You know, farming was depressed, and that was the salvation of this county, was to put this big federal project in, which would attract all kinds of industry here. And then there'd be jobs and plenty in Lewis County. You know, we try to prove to them over and over again by showing them what happened in other areas that had federal dams. That pie in the sky idea that the Corps tries to sell them, you know, it doesn't work. Sutton, I mean, look at, all you have to do is look at Grafton, West Virginia. They've had Tiger Dam since the 30s. What industry came to Grafton because of Tiger Dam? You know, it didn't better the community. All you do is destroy the existing agricultural base. And while it may not be, you know, it might not contribute the same kind of tax dollars that a Weirton Steel does, but it's always going to be there, and it's certainly steady and consistent, and the people who live in the area contribute to the local economy. You know, the federal government doesn't pay any property tax. Farmers don't pay as much as a big corporation would, but the federal government doesn't pay any. So the local people, you know, they've lost the property taxes. They've lost the revenue from the farmers. You know, they haven't gained anything. And they won't gain anything. Industry will not come here because of this dam. It hasn't happened anywhere else, and this isn't going to be any exception. So now the people in Weston who fought so hard for this dam are trying to get the river dredged below the dam, which was one of the points we made. If you would dredge the river and clean it out, you know, it would certainly help the flooding situation in Weston. They want to make Weston a historic district, which I think is an absolute joke since they've destroyed some of the finest historic structures in the state, to attract business to shop in Weston because the malls in Clarksburg and Fairmont are stealing, you know, the business, as is happening in a whole lot of other cities in the country, really. So all the things that we thought could be done besides building the high-rise dam, you know, they're going to have to do anyway. Most people that supported this dam simply supported it because of the flood control. You know, because Weston had flooding. But never did they even lose a home. Not one house has ever been lost because of a flood in Weston. Not one life ever lost. And I tried to make that point with Governor Rockefeller. He said, well, we disagree on the dam. He said, but I'm concerned about the people in Weston who suffer flooding. And I said, Governor Rockefeller, how many people have ever lost their home to the flooding, like Barbara Hebner has, because of the dam? He said, well, they suffer damages. I said, not the same kind of damages that the bulldozers done to her house. It wasn't flooding of such a magnitude that other things couldn't have been done to stop it. At one point, you know, we said to the Corps, why not relocate the houses and businesses in the floodplain? That makes the most sense. They're the ones that flood. Colonel Bob Wilson, Huntington District Corps of Engineers, and I have their number someplace. They have a main number in Huntington. Something hurts?
No.
I found with the Corps the best way to get anything done is to go to the top. Honey, stop. Enough's enough, Lou. Wilson knows about this whole situation. The guy in Pittsburgh really didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's found out subsequent. Belly hurts?
No.
What? Rothbloom is the new colonel in Pittsburgh. And he's got his own number. If you just ask for the chief engineer, Colonel, here's his number, 644-6924.
In Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Area code 412. They don't have to ask anybody if they could talk or not. But Wilson, he was in on this whole thing from the beginning. So he's the one I talked to, so he might get something out of him.
Tape-recorded interview seems to scare him pretty bad.
Well, If you call and they refuse, that's all you can say is I called and they wouldn't.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't talk. I mean, they're foolish. Some of that you could probably get from Kate's old Golden Seal article. There's some nice old stuff in there.
Yeah, I've looked through that.
This house was on Matt's mother's side, and then the other farm that I talk about was on his dad's side. Okay, where do you want me to put them in? You want me to put them in a bowl? Mm-hmm. Okay. I would think Wilson would talk. They generally will talk rather than not get their point of view.
Mommy!
What's wrong?
Who's the mayor down there?
His name's Wendell Hayes. You'll love him.
Okay, good.
What do you want, honey?
And who's the president of the Chamber of Commerce?
I don't know who the president is this year.
But who would be a good person to know?
Bob Earl from the local newspaper is good. He'll usually talk about the dam. He's editorialized
in favor of it.
Oh yeah, for years. He's been a strong. Although he's the only one in the newspaper office. Everybody else. One of his reporters told me Bob Earl and his dog are the only two supporters of the dam in the newspaper office. But
what's the name of the paper?
Weston Democrat. He's done a lot to hurt us, though, just in the way he slants his articles. And when we were testifying in one judiciary committee meeting in Charleston at the legislature, he sat up front at the press table with his support the Stonewall Jackson Dam. You know, or it said Stonewall Jackson Dam means jobs. Whatever buttons that their side had on, he sat up in the press section that way, and then he reported the whole thing. But he reported it, you know, all from his point of view. He had sent wrong senators in it. You know, he didn't even know who was doing what. And uses the newspaper. I've written more letters to the editor against his journalist. I told him I thought it was a joke calling himself a journalist. You know, I mean, it's one thing. What you want to put in your editorial is your business. But when you report the news, what? Hey. The thing about it is that I started to tell you, you know, on that, when we suggested that they relocate the floodplain, they have one of their documents. It's called, it's 1965, I think it maybe is. I forget the date. It's Environmental Review. And in it says that one reason that they wouldn't consider relocating the floodplain is because they've discovered that it's psychologically harmful to relocate people.
Who said that?
The Corps.
In other words, that's why they didn't want to relocate the people in Weston.
Yeah.
In town.
I mean, you know, they just... What do you want me to do with it? You want me to put it in a cup?
Is Bob Wise's office... Where would he be likely to be now?
Charleston, I expect. He's got a...
Does he have a Charleston office phone?
Yeah. It's 800-642-3014. Somewhere I've got his home phone number. 548-4548. He's real easy to talk to anytime, anywhere.
Yeah. Lucille Morgan?
Lucille Morgan. Out of his Charleston office was the lady that actually called Colonel Wilson. And she was as outraged as we were about the treatment of these people.
Where is she from?
Charleston.
She's from
there. She's from down there somewhere, yeah. And it wouldn't have made a damn bit of difference to Lucille what the political implications of anything were. You know, if there's a problem, well, she'll get right on it.
What about somebody who would talk to me who is due to be evicted? Who's next in line? Who are they going to go for now?
I don't know who's next. There's several people over on Skin Creek. I know a fella. He's in a kind of a bad situation now, but I really would like you to... You'd just really enjoy talking to this old guy. His name's Aubrey West, and he's a real character. He's gotten himself hooked in with this lady some way. His wife died. Eleanor Linger died. And then his hired man died.
What's his name?
Aubrey West.
Is he
doesn't have a phone.
Oh, how would I find him?
I just have to go out to Vandalia.
Mm-hmm.
We're going out. We're having a meeting tonight. small meeting and a covered dish dinner. If you want to stay around for that,
I have to sing a concert in Charleston.
Charleston. Oh, you have to go from here down to Charleston.
I have to leave. Go meet Jerry.
Okay.
Are you going to see him at that meeting?
I don't know if he'll be there, but I could tell him about you. Go see him anytime.
Yeah, I was thinking if he's. But is he somebody who's going to be removed?
Yeah, and I figure he'll be. He told him last time. That they came to talk to him about it. He told him to get the hell out. He wasn't going to talk to him anymore. And that after every single other person is out, then he'd think about leaving. Of course, that's part of the reason why they want Barbara out, right? But Beth and Louie, these friends of mine, now they have a telephone. They're in the process of. Honey, I wished I knew what to do. I don't know what to do because she never liked it. Here, look here. Let's get your horse a drink of on their dad's. Well, he signed, deed of 7 acres or something over to them, and they were condemned, and their condemnation is settled. And so far, the court. Did you want to give the horse a drink? I don't know how. I know Beth's been really frightened about what happened to Barbara, so I don't know. At one time, they said that they would only leave by being evicted. Of course, in the meantime, they're doing another house. I mean, they don't want to be put out with nothing and nothing to do, but they've been strong fighters of the dam all the way along. If you quit crying, I'll hold you, okay? Quit crying. Listen. Quit crying. Stop. Enough. That's just might be dynamite for you to test this. She's a real fairy Aspinall. And she has a dairy. It's the place you can see. Aubrey West is the old man who lives in the house there at the festival. Right there by where the stage park. And Mary Aspinall lives in the farm that you can see down that way. It's a dairy farm. And she's got peacocks and guinea hens and deer and she's a real character.
Mary Aspinall?
Aspinall. Her husband's name is William.